Good evening, everyone. I call the October 21st, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Latessa?
Here.
Ms. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Good evening, everyone. We're now on general communications. This is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have one community event, the 27th Annual Greenwood Halloween Parade will be on Halloween evening. There's a block party from 4 to 7, and the parade kicks off at 5:10. All are welcome. It is a great time, and everyone is welcome to join us on Halloween in Greenwood. Do any of my colleagues have anything under general communications, congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. This past Saturday, two great events happened in Ward 3. First was Fire Safety Day, and I want to thank the work, fire department, the administration, and our citizens for participating in this. It's a great event where it's a touch a truck, as well as they give out safety equipment, lessons, they do demonstrations, show everything that they do, the great work that they put into it to keep the city and the citizens safe, and the training that goes through that. The Warwick Police Department also, I must commend, they show up in force as well, and they put on demonstrations as well as have community outreach with the kids and the parents, and everyone had candy to give away in the Halloween spirit. The second one was the Sand Pond Spooky Path. I want to congratulate the Sand Pond community. They had the Spooky Path, and once again, I was happy with my good friend Brian Napa to go ahead and escort the people from the parked area to the path. As you know, it's on Puritan Drive. It can be a busy street after the Rotary, but it's wonderful. This is a community that gets together, and they advocate for that pond, and they also find a way to improve, beautify that area, and they've done a phenomenal job, just a great event, very family-friendly, so I want to commend those. So once again, Warwick with two wonderful family-friendly events in one day. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Anything else? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I'm going to ask for a moment of silence. Again, we lost another business owner in Oakland Beach. Tony Lombardi from New England Lemonade passed away. So I'd like to ask for a moment of silence.
Yes, we'll have a moment of silence at this time. Thank you. Councilman Latessa.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to give everyone an update regarding the progress that we're making over at Del Judas Park. It's coming along very well, as some of you may know, and for those that don't, I appropriated $145,000 of the COVID money that was assigned to the council members. And as of now, the basketball court has been completely removed and replaced. It's been professionally lined off. And not only the children, but the adults have been out there enjoying it. We have two additional handicapped parking spaces, which will be eventually leading up to new swings. There's six new swings that should be in shortly. I spoke with Dean Pimentel earlier today, who's really been spearheading this project and just doing an outstanding job with that. So hopefully they'll be arriving shortly. And then DPW is going to be coming in, hopefully shortly as well, installing two new benches right at the flag area, as well as putting in the new playground mulch at the playground area and all new perimeter ties, barriers, for however you want to describe it. But that's a great project. The people in that area are really ecstatic because for years that area has never qualified for the CDGB grants, and it's been difficult to try and find the resources to upgrade that park. So we are getting there and hopefully be there soon. And by the way, that's also named in honor of John Del Judas Sr., who has been very active or was very active throughout the city. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And that was a congratulations, correct? Congratulations. Thank you. Councilman Gephardt.
Speaking of community events, this past Saturday, the Cohasset Neighborhood Association organized a beach cleanup down at Chippewanoxet Point. We had about 20 volunteers come out. We got many bags of trash and old tires and metal rods and all sorts of interesting things we pulled out of there. So I just want to thank the community for coming together to do that important work, and thank the governor's litter program for helping support us in that. So thank you.
Anyone else for general communications? Okay, hearing none, we're into executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes held for the council meeting on October 7th. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Next up is public comment. I just want to do one last call. Is anyone else would like to sign up for public comment? Okay. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment should not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. We have three individuals who signed up to speak this evening. The first one is Rob C. If we can just make sure the mic is on. Thank you.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I have a quick message for the voters. At the end of what was clearly the most foolish mayoral debate in history, which never covered any of the substantial issues facing Warwick, Mr. Bocozzi stated in his final comment that people who criticize him are keyboard cowards and morons. Quote, those comments from the guy who spends the majority of his day on Facebook, a high school dropout, kicked out of the Marines for going AWOL, 17 default judgments against him in the court totaling $88,000, ignored dozens of hand-delivered summonses to appear before the court, 7 IRS liens against his home totaling $33,000 for cheating on his income taxes and working under the table, of which I have all the documents. At the age of 63, didn't have the $5,000 to pay back the city on his health care co-pays that weren't deducted from his pay. So to pay back the city and the IRS, he had to remortgage his home. That's the guy in the corner office making the fiscal decisions for the future of this city. Yet, he also refused to come before the council and the taxpayers to answer questions about the city's 5-year forecast. Yet he calls other people cowards. Maybe if he got off Facebook and tried to immerse himself in the reality of the unfunded liabilities of this city, instead of running the corner office like a high school popularity contest, he would learn something. Now I understand he's negotiated more raises for the upcoming contracts of police and municipal. And if I had to guess, he'll probably try to jam these contracts through before the 4 outgoing council members are replaced after the election. And I'll bet money that Councilman McAllister will docket that. I would suggest to the residents of Warwick to ignore any candidate that the 4 council members, Howe, McAllister, McElroy, and convicted criminal Travis endorse. Their records speak for themselves. Mr. McAllister, to date, during his entire time as a council member, has refused to answer one financial question posed to him about contracts or other city expenditures, and only refers to the question to the administration, ignoring the concerns of the taxpayer. Mr. Howe continues to miss errors on bid calculations, yet jams every expenditure through without the thought of the impact of the taxpayers. And if you recall, even held an illegal meeting to jam the fire contract through just a couple of days before Christmas, ignoring the concerns of the taxpayer. Mr. McElroy is well known for never returning calls from his constituents and is also well known as the only elected official that can fall into rapid eye movement sleep while standing vertical. And now he wants to be a state rep. God help us. And last but not least is the Ward 6 convicted criminal Travis. The people of Warwick have serious issues to face due to historical poor choices by council members and mayors. I will be happy to see these 4 council members removed, and I only hope that the high school dropout in the corner office is removed as well.
Thank you. The next speaker is Pat M.
Patrick Maloney, 11 Dawson Avenue. I typically get up and I say, I'm a Warwick resident, but tonight I'm going to say I'm candidate for mayor, and this is my statement for the city council. I've always been a nice guy. After watching the city council meeting from May 25th, 2023, and seeing the mayor fight to make sure his kid that works for the city received a 29% raise, 8 of the 9 of these city council members voted to give the 29% raise and not stop the reduction that City Councilman Lattiser put before you. As a small business owner of Warwick, I don't hire people that left the military before their time was up or left with an other than honorable discharge, which somebody on this city council confirmed for me. I do not hire people who are broke and can't handle their personal finances. Why? I gave a person a chance once and they stole from me. I fired them immediately when I found out that they stole. They cannot be trusted. Forget being mayor. I wouldn't hire Frank to stand in my shop and touch the register because I don't trust him. In his own words, I was buying materials for jobs with credit cards and I was robbing Peter to pay Paul. The mayor, whose salary is $100,000, said he's on an installment plan to pay off $33,000 he owes the IRS, but would not disclose the details. He burned local businesses for $88,000. That's a quote from a local newspaper. He owed $5,000 to the city for healthcare because he didn't check his paycheck to see if healthcare was being taken out. City records show that 4 years ago, the IRS filed a lien with the city on the property that the Pecosi's own. Mayor Pecosi's response when he was running for office: my greatest qualification is that I'm not a politician. I owe no one. When I get elected, I have no debts, no political debts whatsoever. I still have personal debts, and I'm going to hire the best people and put them in positions. Well, now he has debts, and now he's paying them. He owes the firefighters. How did he pay them? He didn't follow up on the firefighter overtime, the 2013 side agreement that he vowed he would. An account report paid for by the city calculated excess payments to the firefighters of $386,000. Frank promised to hire the best people and put them in their positions. Who did he hire for those positions? In May 25th, 2023, according to the Warwick Beacon, Frank, who ran on no nepotism, has a daughter working for the city clerk's office and got a pay raise increase that a city councilman opposed. Once again, Councilman Lattiser. The councilman and the mayor had a verbal exchange in city council meeting, according to a local newspaper. The councilman also attempted to make several minor budget adjustments. One of these had Mayor Picozzi on his feet. This is my daughter, and you all stood here. You all stood here, and you allowed that to go through when the contractually obligated raise for everybody in that area was 2.75%. You put a 29% raise in the budget for the position, and you brought them from $42,020 to $55,390. Another person that I just found out, one of the best people the mayor's putting forward, is Tammy Bouchard Baker. She was a recently put forward for an appointment on a board. I'll give you her background. Last year, she claimed bankruptcy, and she was charged with DUI of liquor, drugs, child under 13 passenger first offense, possession of Schedule 1 through 5 controlled substance 10 grams or less, possession of Schedule 1 through 5 controlled substance 10 grams or less, refusal to submit to a chemical test. This is all on record for everyone to see. So when Mayor Picozzi says that he can run this city and he's in control of his finances and he gets in front of you and threatens you.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Maloney.
Thank you. And he threatens this city council and says, this is my daughter, when he did not stand up for any other employee that was put before this city council for also having a reduction in their pay. He only got up here for one person. And afterwards, you stood by and you let it go. It's despicable and it's disgusting. And if I'm elected mayor, I'll work with the city council. But I will not put up with that behavior. I expect better. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Richard C.
My name is Rick Casella. I'm a resident of Ward 3. I'm a candidate for city council in Ward 3 as a Republican. And that's a tough act to follow. I'm not going to rip anybody. I am going to compliment Vinnie Gephardt for the posting he made the other day about decorum and good sportsmanship and how to treat people and how not to air what they might think is their dirty laundry on the internet, especially on my Facebook page. So I'll just give you a quick backstory just so that we know what context we're in. Last Wednesday, I went to the Weathersfield Commons and they had a little meet the candidates. So I made a posting of how nice it was set up and how nice the people were. It was nice to meet them all. And I hope to be able to serve them as their councilman. And about an hour and a half later, I got Kim Winneman, who's the chairman of, I believe, the Democratic City Committee, came up to me and said, I hope you didn't pay for those palm cards because I made a couple of typographical errors. And I think I proofed them without wearing my glasses. And so I said, well, you know, I'm not perfect. And I just let it go. It was fine. It was no problem. I like Kim. She seemed like a nice person. Since I've known her over the years. And about an hour later, I got a text, I think it was, from Tim Howe, the outgoing councilman. And he was saying how he was going to tattle on me and, you know, like kind of like picking at me, saying, how did you make this stupid mistake? He didn't say those words. I'm paraphrasing. And I'm gonna call the Warwick City Committee because you spelled Warwick wrong and you're not the past and the present of the E.T. Wyman. So I was like, you know, I'm glad you and Kim had a laugh, and I never said that I was perfect. And I left it at that. I took the high road. I'm not going to let them poke the bear and make a big deal about it. So anyway, the next day or 2 days later, I got a a text from Tim was kind of in my, I'm not really good with the computer stuff, but it was in my string of things, a reply to one of my things. And he said he had a constituent that had a question about my situation with my wife, because we don't live in the same house or we don't live in the same ward. And am I, since you said you were separated, are you going to take the job? We hope that you get your marriage back together, because the sanctity of marriage is great. And when you and the missus get it back together, you're going to quit the council and force this expensive special election. And so just in that one, so I said, Tim, just send me the information of the name of the person that has questions for me. I would gladly call them and answer their question. But my answer to him was, I intend on being the councilman for Ward 3, and I will serve as long as the residents will have me. That's pretty concise. That says it all. I'm legal as far as the ballot goes. I live in Ward 3, so you don't have to ask Ward 3, Ward 1, ? Or married, ? So this is the kind of stuff you're getting from a guy that really, you know, I don't know what he's got with me. You know, we've had some words in the past. I don't agree with his, you know, some of the stuff he's done in the past, but I never really poked at him that way. So he's poking at me, and he's getting into my private stuff, my family business, the dynamic of my family is with two adult boys, and the fact that my wife and I are lucky enough to have more than one property, and I live in one and she lives in the other. And how we make that work has been the best thing that's ever happened to our marriage. So it's none of your business how me and my wife live, okay? You might live better than me, Tim, but it's none of your business, and you shouldn't be putting it on my internet.
You have 1 minute, okay? Mr. Casella.
Yeah, thanks. So basically, in that one email, there were three lies. One is that I said I was separate, which I never did. Two is that you follow up with your constituents' concerns and questions, because that's a bunch of baloney. I don't believe that anyone I've met has said that you've ever called them back. And number three is that you care about the expenditure of all people to be concerned about a... Joe Gallucci said it's $20,000 for a special election. If, of all people to be concerned about a special election and how much it costs, you're not the guy, okay? You've been spending... I don't want to get into any details. I want to make this quick, so I'm sorry. I want to throw this out there so you have the answer for your constituent, because I know you never got me his name, so I'm assuming he's out there, but I don't know who he is. Just in closing, my son Henry is a graduate of Virginia Military Institute. He's a captain in the U.S. Army in the 10th Mountain Division, and he's currently deployed in Iraq.
Thank you, Mr. Casella.
Okay, yeah, I'm not done. He's deployed in Iraq.
Thank you, sir.
And you know what? For my son to have to go to bed and look at the computer and see that somebody's poking at his mom and dad's marriage.
Sir, thank you very much.
From so far away.
Sir, your time is up.
I think that is disgraceful, and I'm sorry that
sir,
I have to
thank you very
be
much
like that.
For your
yeah,
comments.
Yes.
Sir, thank just you for your comments.
You know, just way out of line, Tim.
Thank you
no
for your
honor,
comments.
And you're that's a low
thank
class
you for your
move.
Comments, sir.
It doesn't help your good friend.
Thank you
my
for your comments.
He's a very nice guy doing that kind of thing.
Thank you for your comments, sir. We're now on number one on the agenda, the consent calendar. First up is PCR 100-24, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2025-206, 2025-205, 2025-210, 2025-151. 2025-214, 2025-201, 2025-200, 2025-211, 2025-114, 2025-246, 2025-243, 2025-198, 2025-197, 2021-295, 2025-245, 2025-238, 2024-111, and finally 2025-084.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the consent calendar that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latizer?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you, consent passes. Next up on the agenda, we're moving to unfinished business. First up is PCO 9-24. This is for second passage, committee report ordinance. For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Howe. Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments on this that were not asked earlier this evening in the Ordinance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr.
McElroy? Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Abbey?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, second
passage. Second passage, thank you. Number two this evening is PCO 11-24. This is also for second passage. Committee report, Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, second passage.
Thank you, second passage. Number three this evening is PCO 12-24, also for second passage. Committee report, Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Howe, Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Second passage. We're now moving on to new business. First up is PCR 8-24 resolution relative to the City Council meeting calendar for 2025. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Move favorable as amended, Mr. President.
Okay. Can you move that for me, Councilman McElroy?
I move favorable action.
Okay, and second by Councilman Foley. Can you tell us what the amendment is? We'll take that up first and then do that.
The amendment was to move the date from, I believe it's September 8th to September 15th, 2025.
Okay. So we just need to move that amendment first, and then we'll take it up for debate. So are you making that motion? Do we have a second to that motion so we can have discussion? Second by Councilman Howe. Councilman Sinapi, I believe that was your request.
Yep, I can't attend on September 8th. My proposal to make the meetings back-to-back was to help alleviate the backlog that's created by the two meetings in the summer where we only have one a month. That way, rather than having one jam-packed September meeting and then a normal September meeting, we can kind of spread it out more evenly than normal to help keep the meetings smoother, especially after coming back into two meetings a month as opposed to one. It's not my preference. Obviously, I prefer to have longer separation between the meetings, but it's the only solution available to me that comes to mind. Of course, the other option is to eliminate one meeting in September altogether and just have one. I'd rather not do that because that just kind of kicks the can down the road when it comes to the backlog. But if that's the will of the council, then so be it.
Any questions or comments? Councilman Gephardt.
I would just say that going, we have had these back-to-back meetings in the past and understand entirely my colleagues' you know, issue with the one date, but the meeting and then meeting the following week, we tend to not be able to get a lot done because we've just heard things and then there's not enough time for things to accumulate. It'd be my preference to keep them spaced out at least by 2 weeks. I can look at the calendar and see if there's another option, but you know, rather than have two meetings 1 week after another, if we can't get to a date that's amenable for everybody, you know, I would be okay with a single meeting in September. But that's just my that's my take.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. I have no dog in this fight, so
no
don't sound so happy.
Yeah. So before us at this time is the, it's been moved and seconded with the dates changing from the 8th to the 15th. So if there's no other motions or anything like that, I believe the next move is to vote that.
Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Lattiser.
Yeah, I actually have a question for legal counsel. So given the fact that at least four of the members of this council won't be sitting here in January, perhaps as many as six. With that said, would it be possible to revisit the calendar after the new members of the city council are sworn in?
The council is an ongoing body. It can amend its schedule on a regular basis. This is setting the regular calendar. The body can always modify its meeting schedule and the timeliness of that turnover. It could be revisited, but my understanding as to why we're here tonight is in order to get the purchasing schedules ready so that the lineup of procurements, particularly those that require more lengthy review periods, then they can be clear and set those dates far in the outset. So that I believe that's why we're taking this up during this gap potential period. But at the end of the day, the rules, you know, set a baseline of how the council meets, but it's subject to however the council votes to meet. So this body, as well as the whichever composition comes into effect in January, has the ability to change it. It would require some logistics with the Secretary of State's office, but the long story short is we set a baseline, and then there's always multiple ways to call specials should there need to be that or other changes for different reasons.
So nothing's
absolutely set in stone.
So that's cool because I like logistics, and with that said, I think that with at least four new people being elected this city council, it's almost 50% of the council. I don't ever recall a dynamics such as that. That is significant. It could be as many as six. And with that said, I think that some decisions that perhaps might be made between now and the end of this calendar year, I think need to be weighed on very carefully. So with your explanation that the new sworn-in city council on January 2nd, and it's possible that Councilman Ricks and myself may not be here either. With that said, at least I know that there's an opportunity for the newly elected council people to weigh in on this calendar, whether it be to confirm it or to have one meeting or whatever. Thank you.
I guess I would just clarify that it was the theoretical. There's no, you would need majority of the council in order
I like
the under proper notice. The theory is there.
Thank you.
Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I do understand what the councilman is saying. However, we were elected and entrusted by the citizens of our wards that we actually live in to vote and represent them. And I am serving until January 7th. So I will vote on whatever comes before me and do my due diligence and my responsibility until then. So I'm prepared to vote on this tonight as it's been a customary since I came on the council in 2017. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Through the chair to Councilman Howe, I was not suggesting or insinuating or asking for anyone not to vote on this evening. Perfectly fine with all of us voting on it. You're absolutely right. We have an obligation, you know, on something such as this. But in the end, I wanted to be sure that the future folks who are sitting here would have an opportunity to weigh in. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. For clarity, I apologize. I withdraw my comment. I misunderstood the councilman's comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so hearing none, it has been moved and seconded with the amendment. So the amendment before us is favorable action for the calendar that is set with one change from the September 8th to the 15th. Just on the amendment, yeah. So that's what's before us at this time, just the amendment, changing the September meeting, the September 8th meeting to September 15th. The clerk will call the roll on the amendment. Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 Thank you. The amendment passes. Do we have a motion, Councilman Sanapi?
I move favorable action.
As amended?
As amended.
Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Foley, Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy, Councilwoman Travis. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action as amended. Yes.
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 Your Lattiser.
Mr. McElroy.
Yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening on unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Yes, Mr. President, I have two, and I would, yeah. And I would request that we vote on them separately. First one is a resolution, and the resolution is, the tentative title is a resolution in regards to forming a city council appointed ethics committee to provide oversight and review of day-to-day internal operations.
Councilman, we're gonna recommend that you just docket it because we haven't set the agenda for the next meeting. So if you docket it, it'll appear that way. If under unanimous consent, it could be a little dim. So.
Oh, at the next meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, I misunderstood your email. I thought you told me to docket it for unanimous consent tonight.
Yeah, then it can be heard. If you docket anything tonight, it will be heard at the next meeting.
If drafted.
If drafted. So you don't need to do it under UC at this time.
Okay. So I don't need to do it under
But you can docket it in the docket session.
We get it drafted, it'll be at the next meeting.
Correct.
Takes care of both of them.
But we're coming back though, because we've got to docket it though. So just not under unanimous consent.
Okay, I'll do it during docket.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8. Ward 9. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business from this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor to move in docket session say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? We are now in the docket session. I have one item to docket is the neighborhood ARPA funds. Again, that's last call. So please, we already have that docketed. So, okay. That's all I had. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening? Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. So I have two. I'll just read it into the record again. It's a resolution in regards to forming a city council appointed ethics committee to provide oversight and review of day-to-day internal operations.
Intergovernmental.
And the next one is an ordinance, and it's the tentative title is an ordinance prohibiting the city council from voting on any expenditure exceeding $400,000 or any bargaining group contract that requires ratification prior to 60 days of an elected or newly elected city council taking office.
Finance.
Thank you.
If I may co-sponsor.
Absolutely.
Please put me as a co-sponsor on both. Thank you.
Ward 6, anything to talk about? Ward 8.
Pass.
Ward 9.
I have one. It's a resolution. Resolution recommending installation of a crosswalk at Major Potter Road at 424 Quaker Lane.
Public safety. And we are adjourned. Thank you very much.